Max's mom gave me a wink.
Oh, Max's mom's friends gave me a wink, too. Okay, I'll tell you. Here we go.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, the Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Oh, this isn't the one we wanted.
Money on this thing. It's simply too good.
You're driving with a Travis Cruder, baby.
Alex, microphone is good.
It's working.
Oh, finally. Oh, we've made it. Hey. Things are looking up, you know?
Hey, you don't have to come kneel next to Dusty.
All it took was a Royals playoff victory.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
How good does that feel?
Oh, man. How can you not feel good this morning? I heard you guys driving in just talking about.
Very like, brr.
Well, yeah, he's not watching college football anymore.
Like you're in a vice over there or something. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's feeling in his plums.
Yeah. Everybody's feeling great. I mean, we all were here in 14 and 15 as well, and we know what the city was like. And I think finally yesterday we got as close as we're going to get to the vibes in the city that we had in 14 and 15. I think we all agree. We're not going to get to that level.
Right.
But it took more and more people getting on board. I think there was a lot of skepticism going into this postseason. Like, oh, they're gonna be one and done, or one series and done. And then, okay, you know, they haven't beat any good teams all year, and it doesn't matter.
At least they got there.
All this stuff. Yeah. And now well, I think everybody is all in.
I think that's people just setting themselves up for failure, though, and not wanting to embrace a team that's good because they're fearing. And that's the mindset that I think is starting to decrease around Kansas City, but it's still there. There are still some people who fear success with our sports teams because it's going to be taken from us. And meanwhile, you're fearing the success. You're not embracing the success. You're not enjoying the success. Sex, you know, whatever.
Gotta embrace the sex.
You got to embrace the sex.
I think so.
Embrace the sex.
Yeah.
Okay. Enjoy the sex.
Okay. Okay.
So anyway.
Sex.
Yes.
The Forrest Gump thing?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was earlier.
Your mama sure wants you in school, boy.
Those are my running shoes. You are Cody Gump over there, Alex Gump. Yeah.
Well,
hi, I'm Alex Gump.
We've officially lost Bob.
Yeah. everybody's, you know, longer days. Everybody's a little slap happy, I think.
No,
at this
we're slap happy because you appreciate that. What I'm getting at is like, embrace the success. Stop being one of those folks who just thinks it's going to end and you don't want to buy in. Like, those days are over, man.
Yeah, and think about this Royals team was 10,000 to 1 to win the World Series before the season.
Yeah.
10,000 to 1. Their odds were only slightly better than the Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. They were only, I think, three teams ahead of the Oakland A's in terms of World Series odds and who had worse odds than them. And now we sit and they're, depending on the book, 12-1, 14-1.
I got them at 3,100 on Friday before they clinched a playoff spot. I threw $25 on them on Friday.
Ooh, okay.
When we were sitting and having tacos.
FanDuel old Bob over here.
Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, see, I live in Kansas. I can do that. You can do things in Missouri I can't do. I can do things in Kansas you can't do. But we both embrace the sex.
Enjoy the sex!
Yeah, right. So we're sitting there, and Jen and I are having dinner, and my friend Joe, who brought back the steak, egg, and cheese bagel to McDonald's for America, sends me a text. He goes, what are the odds? He goes, I'm in Missouri. What are the odds for the Royals to win the World Series? I go, plus 3,100. He goes, I'm going to throw $100 on there. I had, you know, $25 in the FanDuel account right there. So I'm like, Jen's like, put the $25 on the Royals to win the World Series. I get $800 if they win the series.
I was looking back to 2015. There was a story, I think it was in the Star at the time. Somebody then put money down on the Royals multiple times throughout the year to win the World Series. And that guy, I don't know if he was local or not, but he won $2.6 million on the Royals then. So there's somebody out there listening that put a good chunk of change and maybe throughout the season kept putting more money. And I'd be fascinated to hear from them at some point. How are they feeling? Because they're obviously closer than I think anybody ever thought they would be to getting there. And the Yankees, the thing is, the Yankees are the favorites. That's why the Royals are still sitting at 14-1.
Which is why the Royals are going to win this thing.
I mean, look, I feel good heading in because they got it done yesterday. I'm sure you guys talked about it, and now you got the rotation set up again. And so, you know, I don't think you want to bet the series pricing for the Yankees Royals series. In baseball postseason, I would say the same for NBA. You're better off going game by game if you have a future bet to win the whole thing, sure. But I wouldn't bet the series pricing. Like this past series, I think it was plus 160 for the Royals to win the series against the Orioles. they were dogs in each game anyway. You're better off just betting game by game and how you think game one's going to go. So maybe you think the Royals are still going to win the series, but you're like, hey, it's game one in the Bronx. And it's Gerrit Cole. Maybe you don't feel great about them winning that game.
I think I feel great about it. Gerrit Cole sucks.
I know. I'm just speaking in terms of how you potentially can
Gerrit
approach
Cole
it.
Has no spine. So, Gerrit Cole has no way to handle adversity. Royals are going to bludgeon him. Gerrit Cole will be out by the third inning crying to his mommy.
Yes. Well, there you go. So bet game by game with the Royals in that scenario. I'm just saying I would rather bet the game by game stuff than overall series pricing. And there's some trends that are interesting for the postseason. We know the Royals bullpen has been unbelievable. This trend, I don't know how much stock to put into it, but it stood out to me. So teams that are underdogs in the postseason after your bullpen was used for five or more innings in the series prior, which obviously was the case. They four and a third yesterday, are just 28-47 in that next game since 2016.
In the next game or the next series?
The next game.
Well, they got like 18 days off. They'll be fine.
They're going to be ready to go. Yeah. I'm just saying, I thought that was one that stood out to me that was kind of interesting. I'm assuming most of the time that trend is what you were alluding to, which is that, your bullpen is so taxed and they're not available for the next game or whatever. But that's not the case. Ersig and everybody's going to be good to go. The other one real quick, guys, game one home favorites. So that'll be the Yankees on Saturday night in the divisional round, 30-17 straight up. However, they're 1-3 last year in game one.
Yeah.
So
the game one is big. And look, the excuses, the excuses are already being made for the Yankees. That's how I know the Royals are going to win. I've already seen people complaining the Yankees are going to have one game in 9 days, which is true. Yeah. I mean,
that's the hope for the Royals is their bats are cool.
Right. You cool. So they're laying in that excuse. The other excuse is the Orioles and the Astros are not in the postseason anymore. So now there's no excuse for the Yankees to lose. Look, the excuses are already getting built in for the Yankees. They're playing with more pressure than I've seen a team in baseball play within the postseason, maybe ever. And I'm not using hyperbole with this one because Houston is out and Baltimore are out. Those were the two biggest nemesis, whatever you want to say, to the Yankees. Okay? They're now out. It's the Tigers, it's the Royals, and it's the Indians that are left. And if you're the Yankees, you should beat those teams because technically you're better. But this is the postseason. This is baseball. And the Yankees try to hit a home run every time they're at the plate, and the Royals just put the ball in play.
We've seen this play out in October many times.
We've seen this script. We have seen this script with the Yankees since 2010. The last time they won a world championship was 2009. A-Rod was still playing. We have seen this script. And the pressure on Aaron Judge may be more than pressure on anybody in sports to win a championship because he's considered the greatest Yankee to have never led his team to a championship. No player in sports, in my opinion, has more pressure than Aaron Judge has going into this playoff series. And when you have that kind of pressure on you, your sphincter tightens and tightens and tightens, and you're down 1-0 early. You're trying to make a 5-run home run. Royals in 3. They may win it in 2.
I mean, this has been all day, baby.
I totally agree, though, on the pressure point for the New York Yankees. Oh. Yeah, that too, I guess. I mean, you know that Aaron Boone will be fired if they lose this series.
Juan Soto's going to leave in free agency.
All of it is very, very true. I hope John Sterling's final call is the Royals going to the ALCS. That'd be so
that'd
good.
Be
his
great.
Final
like,
call
he,
ever.
He retires in the end. Yeah, right.
This is it for him, right?
Yeah.
He's coming back.
I don't know. He's coming back for the playoffs. But who knows? Maybe he comes back next year. I don't know. Yeah. It's good with him and Susan in the booth, though. It's like a husband and wife bickering, and it's just fantastically good.
So we move from baseball to other games being played on Saturday, which is Missouri at Texas A&M. Finally, Missouri is going to have a real big test. They're on the road. They're 2.5-point underdogs, and the total is 48.5. Any of those numbers you love or hate or just stay away from?
A couple things. I like the total a bit more than the spread, but Missouri, I didn't realize just historically where they're at. They're on, we all know, an 8-game winning streak, but that's tied right now with Army for the longest in the nation, and it's the program's best since 1960. So we all knew this was setting up to be a special year for the Missouri Tigers, and to this point, they've lived up to it. They've had some close calls, but sometimes that's what it takes throughout a championship campaign, or in this case, maybe a college football playoff berth campaign. I like the total here because I just look at both these offenses. You look at some of the pace of play stats and everything. The total's 48.5. I kind of like the under. Missouri's first real road test, as you said, of the season. Actually, I guess it would be the first road game of the season for them.
They played
their
first four at home and then had a bye.
And so I think this fits for an under, looking at both teams and the style of play. And then Texas A&M, as far as the spread, one thing is interesting. They, at home, have not covered the spread in any of their three games so far at Kyle Field. We know it's a great atmosphere in College Station, but I think if you're going to take the spread, give me the team that is going to get a couple points, 2.5. I would see if you could buy the half point, get it to 3. That way you don't, they lose by a field goal and you're not, ticked off at yourself for that. Yeah.
Did you ever get to a game down there when you were living in Houston?
Twice.
You did, yeah.
I never did. It's a little weird, right? The cadets, the corps. It's very weird, the like midnight yell thing
they
do.
It's like a fake army.
It's awesome, it is. You think it's awesome?
Yeah, I've been there too. I love it though.
This whole stadium is awesome. I was there when Trevor Lawrence and Clemson were playing. This was actually, and that came down to the final play.
Was the last time he won?
What if the Jags lost 10 in a row, 11 in a row, something like
that? They have not won since before Thanksgiving of last year.
They've lost 9 in a row.
Last year, they played their best in London. Aren't the Jags heading to London? Not this weekend, but next weekend or something.
London this weekend.
Jets-Vikings.
Jets-Vikings.
But I do think this will be a really good game for Missouri. And if they clear this challenge, though, Oklahoma and Alabama are really all that's left for them. And so I think they need to beat A&M. But if they do that, then I think Missouri is almost a lock to get to the college football playoff.
No doubt. Yeah, I thought that going into the beginning of the season that they were going to make it in. But this is another, we keep putting these litmus tests and these lines in front of our teams, right? And I think for Missouri fans, they're kind of like Kansas City sports fans at times. They don't want to buy in and believe they have a good football team. But they do have a good football team. And I'll tell you why they have a good football team. Because they laid an egg versus Vanderbilt. That's how you know you have a good team. Seriously, you're playing Vanderbilt. Who's getting up for that game, right? And you still found a way to pull it out and win, but they weren't ready for it because it wasn't a big game. It was beneath them. And, teams that are good always play these teams that are beneath them and stumble around a little bit. And everyone goes, oh, my God, this is par for the course. The Chiefs do it all the time, too.
I think that's fair. I have no reason to believe that the Missouri Tigers are going to fall off or anything like that.
No, I don't either. All right, let's look at some NFL games. Yeah. What's going on this weekend? Obviously, we don't play till Monday, but let's talk about that. That -5, the 5.5 that the Chiefs have right now against the Saints going into Monday Night Football.
So it was 6 for a little while, and that was the highest that you've seen it. The issue I have looking at the Chiefs -5.5, I think they're winning on Monday. The challenge I have with feeling confident betting the Chiefs to cover is right now with where this offense is going to be, and I think it's going to look a lot like last year, which doesn't mean they're not winning. We all know that. They can still win. This defense is incredible. That this is a defensive football team and everything. I just don't know if you can feel comfortable with the Chiefs covering 5.5. Last week, they pushed, depending on the number you had with the Chargers, when they won by 7. Some people had it at 7.5. Some people got it a little bit lower than that. So I am not betting the Chiefs to cover the 5.5. If anything, I'm leaning a little bit towards the Saints to stay within 5.5. Dennis Allen, though, as an underdog of a field goal or more, 6-29 straight up. So I don't think we have anything to worry about in terms of the Chiefs winning this game at Arrowhead Monday night and everything like that.
What about Derek Carr? He's been good,
but they've cooled off as a team. I mean, the first 2 weeks of the season, they still are the number one offense by a point or so, but they were averaging 45 points per game. They have managed only 36 points combined the last 2 weeks after scoring 47 and 44 in their two games. Last week, they lost to the Falcons without giving up a touchdown because they had pick six and some other mistakes. So I think this is another lower scoring game. Under 43.5, I think, is in play.
We got to stop talking about offense being a thing in the NFL. This stat came out. So far during 2024, we've had just 15 quarterbacks throw for 300-plus yards. Those 15 quarterbacks are 6-9 straight up and just 3-11-1 against the spread. Through two NFL weeks, we had 5 quarterbacks throw for 300 yards. None of those teams covered the spread, 0-4-1 against the spread. The first time since 1980, no team with a 300-yard passer covered the spread in the first 2 weeks. Offense is dead in the NFL right now.
Yeah,
unless you're Geno Smith.
Yeah, it puts more and more value on the quote unquote elite quarterbacks. The way defenses are playing, but then also, I just think we're in this cycle right now. It'll swing back around and the offense will explode again. But right now, this is the reality of the 2024 season. How many weeks have we come in here and talked about underdogs and what they've been able to do? Yeah. Last week wasn't quite as bad. The public did a little bit better last week in terms of betting. Maybe you had a better weekend, hopefully. But NFL underdogs of 6 points are now 9-8 straight up, and they cover 47% of the time.
It's insane.
And the average point spread, and that's why it's interesting the Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites, but most of these games this week, this season through 4 weeks, 4.2 is the average margin. 4.2 points per game is the average point spread for an NFL favorite through 4 weeks.
Two things real quick, since it's relative and relatable to everyone, the announcing for the starters for games 1 and 2.
Okay.
Have been announced.
Yeah.
Michael Wacha will go game one against New York, and Cole Reagans will go game 2.
I love that.
Game 3 is to be announced. I do too.
I would rather go with Reagans in game 1, though.
I'm fine with maybe what on 3 days
rest. It would be 3 days rest.
Need to do that. Why, he's coming off of cramps too. He's had cramps twice in a month. I'm fine with this. I do think it's important Reagans pitches at Yankee Stadium given the short porch and everything
it's
that you have.
It's a win-win in my opinion for both sides. If he were to go out there and pitch game 1 and win, game 2 you takes a little bit of pressure off Wacha. If Wacha, the experienced vet, goes out there and wins game 1, and you throw game 2 with Cole Reagans,
Then
all of a sudden you're like, you're up 2 and you got to win one and Kauffman out of 2 games.
Right.
You think Monday's nuts, Wednesday's going to be nuts.
Yeah, people be swinging from the lamppost.
I couldn't hear smell like champagne.
Yeah.
But one thing I do like about this game this week is that the Chiefs have allowed an offensive score, field goal or touchdown, in every drive this year on first drives to opponents.
Yes.
And that's all.
But plus 185.
Yeah,
this week against the Saints.
I wouldn't hate the bet at all. I think last week we maybe even off air we were talking about this, like whether it was the Falcons game, whether it's the Chargers last week. That has go back to last year with Spags. First drive, they'll get them sometimes. They'll get them on the first drive. They got their scripted plays, and then nobody adjusts better than Steve Spagnuolo. It's unbelievable. It happens. It's so predictable.
It is. It's very predictable.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't hate that bet.
Right.
I mean, that's not a bad idea. See if Derek Carr and the Saints, they march down. Everybody panics. Oh my gosh. Although I guess we'll be watching the Royals game at the same time, so we'll be more stressed about that.
Yeah. Olave will be locked up with McDuffie. Rashid Shaheed will be the guy that does something weird. And then I think
Taysom Hill will get an opening drive touchdown for the Saints.
And then the Saints will say he should be their starting quarterback.
And then tonight, Falcons are -2. I just looked. I thought they were 1.5, but -2. I think they're 1.5 FanDuel, -2 on DraftKings. I like that. I don't know why. It's Thursday night. They're the home team. And a field goal, they win the bet. 2 points to me is a nice, nice bet.
Thursday night, the home team usually has an advantage, like the trend points towards the home team.
Do they, or do we just say that?
It does. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but
it's not as big a gap as you think, but it is an advantage. It's probably like 60-40.
Yeah, it's been
probably like 51-40.
Yeah,
we all go, oh my god, this huge gap on Thursday night.
The only thing though is, man, like I just been so impressed with Tampa. I thought the Eagles were going to put up way more of a fight last weekend
than
the Bucks. To the point, where, I mean, the Bucks were up what 21-17, 21-0 at one point against
the
Eagles.
The ball to Saquon Barkley in the first half.
Yeah, I just that's the only thing that scares me. Like I've second guessed Baker Mayfield a lot even this year, and they continue to step up. And it seems like maybe they're going to transition their running back situation to Bucky Irving a little bit more. Has Atlanta shown you guys enough? I just told you they didn't get an offensive touchdown last week against the Saints. They won, but they didn't score. It's not the offense is still not clicking there for Kirk Cousins yet.
Right.
Their defense is playing at a really, really high level. That's why the total is also at 43.5.
Well, and they got lucky. I mean, they had that muff punt that Richards got for 6, the easiest pick 6 we've ever seen in our lives. That game was
and
so
I don't know
dumb.
If this adds any, you know, damper to the thing, but the Atlanta Falcons are 2-10 against the spread in their last 12 games as favorites.
Yeah.
Eesh.
So bet against the Falcons.
I guess. Yeah. Now I'm fickle minded.
It's so funny with trends because I like leaning into trends when we bet, but also, man, like you can find any trend to support what you want to
bet.
You can find any betting trend. Like, all right, I know I want to bet the Falcons tonight, and then you find the one trend. You're like, see, this is the bet, man.
Yeah, no, but that's just like anytime you want to prove a point with a stat, you go find the stat that's going to work for you. You find the trend that's going to work for you. You find, you know, we all gravitate to finding things that we like and reading things that we like that kind of relate to what we think all the time. So that's just kind of how life works. You could always find that kind of stuff. Trust your gut, right? Trust your gut.
What you guys coming up on Cody and Gold today?
Yeah.
Obviously, Royals talk?
No question. Yeah. Obviously, we're going to have some fun talking Royals baseball. And like you guys, we'll have Vern join us a little bit later on in the show today. Dane and Hughes, though, we will talk some football with him, and then Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid coming up around 11:40 right here on 96.5.
Oh, that's right. Today's Thursday, so everything's kind of pushed back a day because of Monday Night Football. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Thank you, guys.
No problem. Thank you. Hopefully they win some money this weekend.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know what to do against Atlanta. Still got the sphincter on my mind.
Yeah.
Got to figure out how to make money on this. I really want to. Driving with a traveling crooner, baby.